saw the post that I've been posting the last couple of days about today's service, it's going to be, the name of it is called Watch. Watch. That word God gave me a few days ago, and he's been permeating every day. It's watch, 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 watch. And the word come to me from 1 Corinthians 16:3. I was reading, actually I was listening to it as I was driving to work one day, and that word stuck with me, watch. If you read in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye, you like men, which means be like men, and be strong, let all your things be done with charity, and as we know, some translations say love. Quit simply means to be like, or to be like men. It means to be courageous. Be courageous like men. I heard a pastor teach on that, be like a man, not too long ago, a couple Sundays ago, and I think it was the scripture he was reading. But the word watch stuck with me. Watch, 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 watch. It's all I could hear in my spirit. Watch, watch, watch. And so I got to asking the Lord, why is this word so stuck in my head? Watch, and in my heart. And so I started researching the word. In the Hebrew, it's a word called gregorel. G-R-E-G-O-R-E-A, I think is how it's spelled. It means to be awake, to watch on the alert, to be vigilant. And we know to be vigilant is to walk carefully but expecting the unexpected. Stay awake. We have a movement that is going through not too long ago, and it called to be woke. Well, I'm going to wake you in the spirit today. I want you to look at the word watch through the Bible with me. We are called to be watchmen. If you go to the Old Testament, I won't go through all of them. I don't have time to read them all. But we are called to be watchmen. There were watchmen set on the towers, set on the walls, and they were constantly looking for the enemy. And when they saw the enemy, they would sound the alarm. They would blow the horn. And when the people heard the horn, they knew to prepare to fight. The enemy was approaching. The men would rush out to confront the enemy. I'm sure the women and the children had their jobs as well. It's just not said that I'm aware of in the Bible. But everyone had a job when the alarm was set. And it even says in one scripture, and I think I wrote it down, Ezekiel chapter 33, talks about the responsibility of the watchman. If he failed, his life was accountable. His family was accountable for his failure. Are you watching? You know, that part of my job as a Christian, I understand. Because my enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. I don't want him devouring me, nor my children, nor any of the people that God has given me leadership over, on my hearts, in my minds. I pray for you. You don't know. And there's people that come to my mind that don't even go to church here anymore. And all I know to do is to be the watchman and to pray. And to pray. We call that intercessory in the Pentecostal faith. But you are called to watch. Watch. There in Isaiah 5:1-2, and I think it's also in Matthew and Mark, you'll see watchmen over the harvest. That's what we're called, watchmen over the pastors, leaders, other Christians. You are called to be watchmen over the harvest. That's your sons and your daughters, your friends, your Christians, your Christian brothers and sisters, and those that are in the world. They're the harvest. We are called to be the watchmen for the harvest. Read the stories, Isaiah 5:1-2, Matthew 21, and Mark 12. It's where you'll find those. Watchmen over the harvest. Those are the stories. They account to that. Watch. That wasn't enough. wasn't done with watch. Ezekiel 33:7, verse 7 through, I think it's 50 or 20, it talks about the ministers and teachers, how that we are called to be watchmen. And let me tell you, just because you don't hold a mic or you don't give a sermon on Sunday morning, that don't mean you ain't a minister and a teacher. You are teaching people every day by the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk, how you handle situations, or how you don't. You are ministering and teaching people every day. Are you watching? Are you on watch? Ezekiel 33, the one verse that says, So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whatever you have, whenever you have a word from my mouth, you shall give them from me. Warning from me. That was his God talking to Ezekiel. We're called to be watchmen. Are you watching? I understood that part of my job. I call it loosely my job, my calling. You have a calling too. That's the same calling. So God took me into another part. There are watches in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are three watches. And that began at sunset and it ended at sunrise during the darkness. Let me just tell you, when Abraham stepped out and God was showing him the stars of the sky and told him that the promises and that your descendants will be as many as these, let me tell you, it wasn't daylight. There was darkness. But the stars were shining brightly. And there were so many that Abraham couldn't count them. So let's talk about the darkness, the beginning, the three Old Testament watches. There was the beginning of the watch, which was from sunset to 10 p.m. There was the middle watch from 10 to 2 a.m. And there was the morning watch from 2 a.m. to sunrise. You will see things in the Old Testament that we'll talk about in the middle watch, in the second watch, in the third watch. You will see those in the Old Testament. Each watchman has a shift. Do you wonder why God wakes you up in the middle of the night sometimes? You got a shift. He's trying to tell you something. Get on your knees. Talk to him. If you're like me, you can't get on your knees. Sit up. Get in the living room. Get before God. Whatever it is that you can do, you've got to watch. In the New Testament, however, you will hear a mention of the fourth watch. And that's God's watch. That's Jesus' watch. This is what God gave me. I'm just trying to give this to you. The Romans established four watches, is what they think historically. They shorten the time for each watchman. The first watch was from evening from 6 to 9. The second watch was from 9 to midnight. The third watch, and they call them funny. The first one was evening watch. The second one was midnight. The third one was the cock crow. Remember when Jesus talked about to Peter when the cock crows three times? Cock crow was midnight to 3 a.m. It gives you some timeline there in Jesus' crucifixion. That was the third watch. And the fourth watch was called dawn, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Dawn. Dawn. Four watches. Are you watching? Are you on your watch? We should understand as Christians, we all have to be watching over ourselves, over our families, over our children, over our disciples, our churches, and the list can go on and on. But today, I want to talk to you about, are you watching for God? The Bible instructs us to watch because the Son of Man will come back at a time that no one knows. That's Revelation, the thief comes. That's New Testament. If the owner of the house had known when the thief was going to come, he would have prepared, but he wasn't watching. situation. I took a terrible fall about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I hit the concrete when I hit the bottom of the stairs. I wasn't able to walk. I still have the wounds on my leg. I still have tenderness when I walk. I try to come in here Thursday and do Zumba. Woo! I knew right away that this was not going to happen too often on that one foot. But I tell you what, in all that happened to me, I watched. And I got up after some crying and some hobbling and some getting to the bed to elevate the foot and put some ice on it. I thank God, because it could have been a lot worse. I hit the concrete at the bottom. I've known of people younger than me who've fallen downstairs and did not live. They hit their head just in the right spot. And their life was gone. In all the situations, I try to look and see the silver lining, as we would like to call it. It could have been a lot worse. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. I was out there alone. In my backyard, no one would have seen me. My husband probably wouldn't have found me for several hours. But God is good. And even in that, I watched God's hand keep me. How many times in your life have you just seen the bad in it, but you've not watched for God? You've not watched and seen what He has done. God's given me a message today. I have a word from you, from Him for you, and He says, watch. Watch what I will do. Watch what I have done. Don't ever stop watching. Many of us like to dread, oh, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what? Here we are. We're taking yesterday's worry and we're compounding on today's worry. And then we shove it on tomorrow's worry. But did you watch for God and all that? I'm calling you to watch. Watch. So he took me, I was listening to a pastor preach this week, and he talked about Elijah and the woman. And I thought it was so strange when you read the stories. This is in 1 Kings. And the brook dried up, and the ravens stopped coming and bringing him food. And he told him, he said, go to this town. I have commanded a widow woman to care for you. But if you read the story, she had no clue that was her calling. No clue. A lot of times we're so caught up, and she's at the entrance of the gate, and she's gathering sticks. And he asked for a cup of water. And according to the customs of that day, she was to oblige him. And so as she's going to get the water, he says, oh, and by the way, can you bring me something to eat? And I know that she didn't know her command, because her words were, I am, and I'm paraphrasing this whole story, we'll read it. She said, I am gathering these sticks up to go and break the last morsel of food we have, flour and bread we have in the house. And then my son and I are just going to die after that, because we have nothing else to eat. She didn't know. She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't a woman of God. She was actually someone outside, a Gentile. She wasn't even, she kept saying, according to your God, Elijah, I'll do this. Not her God, your God. Watch. Could you just see Elijah? I've been sitting there going, Lord, I thought you had this planned out for me. This was going to be smooth. She knew what the assignment was. No. Elijah didn't lose faith in God. Even though she grumbled and complained and had this dismal outlet, I think Elijah was watching. He was on watch because God had commanded. Even though she wasn't a willing participant, she was part of the plan. And because of her obedience to God's word to Elijah, she, for 3 years, I think they estimated, in the famine, she and her son lived because the oil never ran out and the flour never went away or the meal. It kept filling up miraculously according to God's will. But watch, I thought that was so funny that she didn't understand the assignment. She wasn't watching for a Savior. All she could see was the storm. I'm just going to gather this up. We're going to make the last bit of food and we're going to die. Me and my son. And then God took me to Matthew 14. And I want to read quite a bit of that. So go over there because God had given me revelation on all this. On this word that I have given you today. And we're going to start at 13. And notice in the King James Version, it says, into a desert place. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. They're in the desert place. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. That's how God's kingdom works. You give what you've gotten. That's what I'm doing today. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets. 12 disciples, imagine that. Full. Not half full, full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And this is the part, the other part, God. He gave me this whole scenario. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He constrained them, almost forcing them into the ship. They didn't want to leave him. They didn't want to go without him. But it was his will for them to get in the ship and go. And we all know these stories. And while he sent, when he's, and to go before him unto the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone in the desert. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Many of us today are in the storm. We're doing God's will. We're being obedient. May not have been constrained, but we're being obedient. We're in the ship. We're going to the other side to meet him. We're going to the destination he told us to go. You may not know that. He may not audibly have spoken it to you. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Remember what the fourth was, night was? It was dawn. It was in darkness turned to light. Some of you, God said, watch. Because the darkness is turning to night in your life. I don't know what's coming, but I know you need to watch for God. He's about to move. You need to watch. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But if you're watching for him, fear can't have you. Watch. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, here's what he says. Be of good cheer. It is I. I am. The one who's in control. The one who's walking on the water, walking on the storm. And it's not even bothering him. He's just doing his thing. He is being who he is. And you should be who you are. Don't let that storm cause you any fear. Be not afraid. And this is the part where Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. Some of us are crazy enough to get out of the boat. Not all of us. Some of us. the ones that are crazy enough to get out of the boat. I'm also the one like Peter who takes their eyes off Jesus and sinks. And he's going, oh, ye of little faith, you got out on the boat. You got out on the water. Here you are. Coming toward me. Why did you? There's a song back in the 50s, way before my time. It says, I only have eyes for you. Who's your eyes for? Are you watching? What are you watching? We like to focus on everything else. It's the enemy's way of distracting you. It is. All the craziness. I don't even watch TV anymore. Definitely not the news. It's just a distraction. I pray for the evil of this world, for those in charge. Pray for the Christians. Pray for the unborn, the ones that can't speak for themselves, the innocent, the children, the elderly. Because I'm in this world, but not of this world. I'm watching. Jesus says, watch. It's about to dawn. I've stepped on the scene. You know what? I was reading this, and in Matthew, if you go to Matthew, and I don't turn there, but 6, I think it's 45 for 53, it talks about this same account. But in verse, I think, 48, it says that he would have passed them up, Jesus walking on the water. But he didn't. He went to them. He started walking to them. He could have went to the other side and waited for them. I thought that was so interesting, but he would have passed them up. Let's just read that verse, Matthew 6. It's hilarious. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, thank you for not passing me up. Matthew 6, all the way down to 48. And when even, I'm going to do 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, there's that fourth again. It's important that it's there. He cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. He would have passed him up. He's not passed you up. Watch. The night is about to turn into dawn. The day is about to break. But don't lose hope. Don't let fear have you. Timothy was told, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It's not something you should have. And it's not definitely of God. Reverential fear is one thing. Fear is a whole different ballgame. But let's skip on down, go back to Matthew 14. So he's pulled Peter out of the water. Verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore doest thou doubt? Even if you have a doubt, have faith. What did our scripture say? Watch, stand firm in the faith. Be as men, courageous, be strong. And it says, and when they were come into the ship, talking about Jesus and Peter, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, and actually in, I think it's in John, in Matthew, it said they had hardened their hearts. Even though they had just seen him perform a miracle in the desert, feeding 5,000 men, and Lord knows how many women and children out of just a few loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they're in the storm. And they had hardened their hearts. Go back to Matthew 6, read it. It talks about it. We won't go over it now, but don't harden your heart. Don't allow the enemy to have that part. That's losing hope is what that is. Lost hope for what's going on now. Your faith is already shot. I preached a message about hope a couple of Wednesdays ago. I pray that some of you all were able to hear it. But listen what happens. And in one version, I think it's in John's version of this story, it talks about, and when he got in the boat, they immediately were on the other side. Watch. The dawn is coming. The light is coming. And it says in verse 34, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And I probably didn't say that. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I looked up the name of that city, the meaning, and it means a garden of riches. So baby, you come from the desert. God's still performing in the desert. You've gone through the storm. He's walking on the water. He's about to become the daylight. And you're going over into a rich land. They said that the town was only about 3 miles long. It was a very small town, but it was so rich. The soil was so rich. They considered it the Garden of the Prince was another name I heard about that name. So, baby, you come on from the dry to the storm. Into the riches of the kingdom. If you watch. Are you watching? Are you focused on the storm? Have you lost the remembrance of what had happened in the dry land? Where he brought you from? One day I'm going to preach a sermon of the scars. And let you see how I look if you saw me in the natural. From my spiritual wounds, my spiritual battles, some that I had my own and some that God let me get through. But what I look like today, to you, I may not look like in the natural. If you could see my scars, I remember who I was. Heck, sometimes he showed me now how my heart is. I told you the story about driving to work, asking God to bring some judgment, Old Testament judgment on people. And God tells me, he says, I'm giving them as much time as I gave you. I'm talking weeks ago, months ago. I'm telling you, this is an everyday walking it out. Every day, every second of the day, I have to make the right choices. I wish I could tell you I make them all the time, but I don't. But he told me to tell you, watch. I'm about to step on the scene. But you got to watch for me. Don't be distracted. We're going from the dry, through the storm, to the riches. But don't miss him if you're not watching. Don't miss him. Jesus in John 6, which is the verse, the chapter you'll find the other account of this of these miracles, he talks about being the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever hungers, comes after me, you won't hunger again. And if he believes on me, he'll never thirst again. And then he brought me to Luke 12 and 37. It says, blessed are those servants. Blessed are the servants. Whom the Lord, when he comes, findeth, shall find them watching. I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make a place to sit down to meat for them. And he will come forth and serve them. Luke 12 and 37. Blessed are the servants. Servants, are you obedient servant? Yes. We don't always get it right. lives every once in a while. Holy Spirit, that's what He's for. Leading, guiding, showing you. We're doing it one at a time, one room at a time, as I call it. But when I read that this morning, blessed are these servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And God immediately took me to Psalms 23 and 5. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemy. What are you watching? Are you focused on? Do you only have eyes for Him? I'm not saying that you need to stop looking for the enemy. No. Your life depends upon it spiritually. Your children's lives depend upon it. Your nieces, your nephews, all those that you're in contact with, your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other. But He's calling you to watch. Watch for me. I am coming. The night is about to dawn. News. We've been through the dry place. We're going through a storm. He's still not left me. He could have passed me up. He had the faith to wait on the other side for me because He knew they were coming. But they cried out. And He came to them.